Hello, my name is Lucas de Groot. This is Type Radio from New York, and now we're talking.
You are a Dutchman working in Berlin right now. Mm-hmm. You've also worked in Holland, I suppose.
Yep.
Is there a difference in design and design approach?
Sure, there is. In Holland, there's a long tradition of corporate design, and I worked at BRS Prems Lavonk, which is now called Eden, which is a corporate design company, making beautiful corporate manuals, etc. And I've been working with Studio Dunbar, which also have this long history in corporate design. And in Germany, this was a bit different. Not such a history in making good corporate design and implementation, etc. And there's more separation between ad agencies and design bureaus. I think in Germany, ad agencies are a bit more powerful. They're bigger, and that's where the real money goes to. Well, I'm not sure about the situation, how it is now in Holland, because I left already 13 years ago, but those are some of the differences that I noted in the beginning.
And the appreciation of design is different?
Yes, I think so. In Holland, one can say that every square meter has been designed at least once, and there's a general high awareness of design. Whereas in Germany, there's so much stuff and place that has never been designed, and lots of people are not aware of it.
So, would you go back to Holland?
No, it's too small. Yes, yeah. Also, the graphic design scene in Amsterdam, where I worked, at, you know, everyone knows each other. All people know the other bureaus, and I had been 4 years in this company, and then I wanted to go somewhere else, because when you're longer than a certain period in a company, you need to take responsibilities and do lead jobs and get assistance, etc., and do more talks with clients, which I really didn't want to do at that time. I wanted to work with my hands myself. So I decided to go to Meta Design in Berlin. Also because Meta Design is much more internationally oriented, and of course also because it was next door to Fontshop, which was also interesting for me. So
we heard that you developed the thinnest font in the world.
Yeah,
which is only like 1 point.
Mm-hmm. 1 font unit thickness. Yeah.
Okay, could you tell us about it?
Yeah, it was a funny job. Already several years ago, someone asked me to make very thin versions of the Sans, and at that time I had started a bit, but you know, making thin fonts is really very difficult, takes a lot of time, so I didn't finish it in time for this magazine. They went broke shortly after. Then for another family, the Tats, I had already made some very thin fonts to explore the weight range, how big I could go. And Tats is, compared to the Sans, quite easy, because it's a bit more constructive and less humanistic. So then I decided to do a very thin font for the Sans, thin font, so I thought I'd start with the thinnest possible 1 font unit. And of course, it's not possible, which I found out quite shortly after, because, because of what? You know, when you need to connect strokes, for instance, there's no italic, that certainly would not be possible. It's a bit difficult to explain without a picture, but anyway, it's very difficult to, you have to work on a grid, you have 1,000 font units at your disposal, and all points in a font and all control points need to be on this grid. So when you're working with a font that's only 1 font unit thin, then all the control handles of the curves, they need to be controlled extremely well, because only 1 font unit makes a huge difference. And sometimes it's not good. 1 font unit to the left is too much. 1 font unit to the right is too much to the other side. And then you have to do other tricks, you know, to change the outer curve maybe. Or so I had come up with a lot of tricks to get it done. And actually, I finished this font, just 1 weight. It's available even.
What is its usage? I mean,
it's the most useless font in the world.
Okay. That's great. You're selling, right?
Yeah. I've never sold it yet.
Does it come out of a printer? I mean,
Yes, it does. Yes,
it does.
I've used it once on a huge poster. It was a kind of poster, 70 by 100 centimeters, and so when you print it at a 1,000 point size, then the line thickness will be 1 point, so you will see it. But actually, it's still based on broad-nipped pen contrast, so the strokes on the right top of the curves are a little bit thicker, and the strokes on the bottom right are a bit thinner, etc. So.
But did you start the project just to explore the technical side of it?
No, actually to conquer the grid.
Okay.
So.
You also produce fonts for the new Microsoft system, I heard.
Yes, I did.
How is it to be dealing with a mogul like Microsoft?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Even though Microsoft is very big, the type group is quite a small, intimate group with great people in there. Several people which were at Monotype for the biggest part of their lives and then switched to Microsoft. Actually, Microsoft, they worked for Monotype at Microsoft for several years, and then they got to Microsoft, they became Microsoft employees. Yes, it was also interesting to work together with four other designers on this project and to get professional help with the Cyrillic and Greek parts of the job. I had already exercised Greek and Cyrillic for several years, about 5 or 6 years. I needed to get a good grip on it. Yeah, I could talk a bit about that if you wish.
Yeah,
you're Greek, so
yeah, it's
yeah.
True.
Well, about 6 years ago, I started Greek descents, and very difficult for me because by looking at Greek websites, you only find very crazy faces that have nothing to do with historic Greek fonts. So that was the first mistake I made. I made my font like that. And then I started looking at mathematical Greek, which is completely different. So I thought, that's so different, I have to make a different version again. So I made mathematical versions as well. And then I started investigating older Greek fonts and trying to write them with different pens, which was very useful. And then I came up with even another version. So I had about, for a lot of lowercase characters, I had about 4 or 5 or 6 different versions. And my problem was that I didn't know what to choose to make a Greek font look good, because I could not judge the look of a Greek text at all.
Okay.
So for this Microsoft project, Gary Leonidas was involved, which was very helpful because he had some stories to all the characters and he had a big piece of written stuff, great stuff. And we even got into some interesting discussions. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And the Cyrillic?
It also took a lot of time. I already was in Russia several times. I spent a few weeks on the Isle Crimea, where I drove around on a bicycle and took lots of pictures and films to photograph really beautiful Russian typography on the streets. Crimea used to be very rich, so each bus stop would be designed by a different designer, and each town had its own logo, so to say, which normally was a huge sculpture, like 10 meters high or something like that. And they were all typographic treasures. So I got a lot of inspiration from that. And then I found some Bulgarian guys doing Bulgarian Cyrillic, which I immediately fell in love with because it looked so much better to my Western eyes than the Russian Cyrillic. And they have a lot of different character forms that come more from handwriting. And, Cyrillic text, when you look at it, it almost looks like small caps because the lowercase characters in Cyrillic are simply smaller versions of the capital characters, at least for a lot of characters. Whereas these Bulgarian guys, they use a lot of more humanistic forms, written forms for their lowercase letters, which simply looks a lot better. So I wanted to do Bulgarian Cyrillic then exclusively. But of course, Russians do not accept this. To Russians, this looks like, they don't take it very seriously. It looks a bit like children's writing to them, even though they can all write it. And I also have a Russian employee with whom I had lots of interesting arguments about this, and also about the widths of characters, which is very difficult to judge for a Western person. I try to apply my what I was taught in school, rhythmical spacing, etc. And Russians do not accept this, which I found out with my Russian employee, that he thought certain characters should be narrower and other wider than I would design them by simply looking at the rhythm of the text. And this is also something which is not available in the Bulgarian stuff. They do it much more like I would do it. They space their stuff rhythmically and don't compress the wide Cyrillic characters as much as Russians do. And for this Microsoft project, we had Maxim Zhukov as an advisor on Cyrillic, which was also quite interesting. And of course, I got into strong discussions with him because I wanted to have... Actually, I had already designed Bulgarian Cyrillic variations. At a certain point, he found out that they were in there, and he said, no, we're not going to get these in there, no, no, no. So, unfortunately, they're not in there. But also about widths of characters. You know, I had the feeling that he had been writing on a classical typewriter for too long, because you know, on a typewriter, you have to compress those wide characters in order to fit them in the space. And that was a bit his position, so the white character should be narrower than I thought they would be. So we had some arguments, but in the end, I'm quite satisfied, and I learned a lot. So I also did for the Microsoft project, so maybe a short introduction. Five designers were invited to design fonts for the next operating system called Longhorn, and all fonts are designed to be read on screen, and Microsoft has improved their type display technology on screen again, which I actually might have influenced a little bit. But anyway, these fonts are all meant to be read in the next generation of ClearType. And for previous systems, fonts were made to be read in black and white on screen, with black pixels and white pixels. And at a certain point, the operating system could also do grayscale pixels, so you get kind of a smoothing in curves and diagonals. But now, with ClearType, the operating system uses the subpixels, the red, the blue, and the green subpixels. Each square pixel is divided into three vertical stripes. And Microsoft then said, okay, we can now address these subpixels individually because of modern LCD flat monitors. So when we use these subpixels, in theory, you can get a threefold resolution in the horizontal direction. And they did lots of investigations because the human eye has different sensitivity for different colors. In the green, people can see a lot more different shades. So they divided most of the information on the green and then the blue and the red accordingly to how eyes work. And it works quite well. And the previous generation would do this clear type only in horizontal direction, of course, because in vertical direction it's not possible. And in vertical direction it would be still black and white, so all the stems would be rounded to whole pixels. And which they were displaying in Copenhagen at ATAPI, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, I guess. And I was then talking to these guys and I said, it's okay, but it's not good enough because you have a problem here. And I pointed them at some size where Arial, the vertical stroke was something like 1¾ of a pixel, which you can do with ClearType. It looks like a bit more than one pixel, but not just like 2 pixel. And at this size, the verticals had already jumped to 2 pixels. And I said, I don't like this. For Arial, it might be okay, but for more humanistic fonts, I want to decide if the horizontal strokes should be black and white or should have some grayscale anti-aliasing. And that's exactly what they implemented afterwards, and quite intelligently. So in small sizes, you still have, in vertical, you only have black and white, and the bigger you go, at a certain point, this vertical grayscaling fades in, and you get real nice rounded tops. And Actually, that's also connected to how my fonts got in this system. First, I was asked to design a monospaced font because I had already designed monospaced family as a replacement for Courier, that's currently system font. And then I didn't know it was a pitch, so I just sent something in. And then 2 weeks before deadline of the first proposals, they asked me, you would like to see some more proposals for the sans serif family. Can you send something? And okay, so I took some old stuff that I had never used. And I had added some rounded corners. And I was looking at these rounded tops and bottoms in ClearType, and I saw that it didn't look good at all because, you know, there was no vertical grayscaling yet. So I thought, I like this font and I want to send it in, but because it doesn't work, I also have to make a version without rounded tops. I also made a version without rounded tops, and then I said to them, I wrote an email and I was saying, well, I do like the rounded version much better, but as you can see, it doesn't work at all in your ClearType rasterizer, so take a look at the other one. And then they wrote me back, and I got a message, okay, we take this font. And so it was because they had improved the rasterizer, which really works well on these rounded tops and bottoms. So I had to do two fonts then,
wow,
two
okay.
families. Yeah.
So when are they? Are they out? Not yet? Still?
No, I have no idea. I thought this summer there would be a Longhorn bet, official beta release that people could get their hands on. But I have no idea.
So they will replace Courier then? Is that the idea? And
yes, I've made two font families. One is called Consolas, and the other is called Calibri. Consolas is the monospaced font, console font, which will replace Courier, and the other is has no specific purpose yet. It's not the replacement.
It won't replace, okay.
No, the replacement of Arial, Verana, whatever, has been made by Jeremy Tankard. And there was also another Dutch guy, Jelle Bosma, has made a font. He has made a replacement of Times and with a whole mathematical set. And then we have Gary Munch, who did personal font, a bit more loose. And then John Hudson also did a serif font. So that was the group.
Must be exciting to work knowing that millions of people are
Yes, yes, yeah.
And misusing it. And
yes.
using it.
Yeah, well, you know, normally I don't want to design typefaces for a company exclusively. You know? I've turned down big assignments because I didn't like designing a font exclusively for some insurance company jerks. But in this case, I thought, okay, this is not a problem because the font is going to be more or less public domain.
Yeah, but so Microsoft, though, is... I won't say
no,
nothing.
No, you can say
no. No, but...
Are you making enemies again?
No.
Yeah, of course, they have their company policy, but I don't think it's much worse than company policy of Apple or Adobe, particularly. So, you know, they all have to make money and they all have to do dirty tricks to keep their business running. And so